Well, good morning. It's so welcome to Second Baptist Church. It's so great to have you here this morning, as well as those who have joined us online. We appreciate you being here. If you're a guest this morning, first off, I'd like to encourage you. It's so good to have you here this morning. I'd like to encourage you to fill out the card in the pew back in front of you so we can learn more about you. That'd be great. You can also go to sbcr.org online, and there is a button that says I'm New, and if you'll click that, there'll be some information there, and that would be wonderful. We'd love to know more about you. I do have a few announcements I need to make this morning. I wrote them all down so I wouldn't forget. So first off, there'll be no services tonight, August 8th, no services this evening. We're also collecting items for our back-to-school backpack program. There's a list of needed items that can be found at the Ministry Opportunities Counter or in the church office. Tomorrow will actually be the last day to turn those items in, so if you'd like to do that, that would be wonderful. August 11th will be our back-to-school bash, and that's going to begin at 6 p.m. You can call or email Pastor Jonathan if you'd like to help out with that in any way. And then next Sunday is going to be Tech Sunday, so that's exciting. We'll be having a cookout immediately after the morning service, so I'll definitely be here. Anyway, if you'd like to help out with that, you can contact the church office. Also, the Tech Involvement Fair, that's coming up. That'll be August 16th. And we'd like to give away some $5 to $10 gift cards from places around town. So if you'd want to help out with that, that'd be great. You can just get some little $5 to $10 gift cards and bring them by the church office. And then Wednesday, August 18th, we're going to be kicking off our Wednesday night program for the kids. It's called Second Kids. So keep that in mind and put that on your calendar. That'll be exciting. And then finally, I'd like to welcome our guest speaker this morning, Brother Dusty Ride. It's so good to have him with us this morning. So pray for him as he gets ready to bring us the message that God has laid on his heart. So now let's go to the Lord in prayer and prepare to worship God this morning. Father God, we love you so much. We're so grateful to be here. We're so grateful to have the freedom in this country to just gather together as believers and just worship you, Father, and just dive into your word. And Father, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you for the richness of it. Father, we thank you that you've blessed us with the ability to sing praises to you, Father, to truly worship you. And we just ask that we would have hearts of worship this morning. Father, I do pray for Brother Dusty as he gets ready to bring your message. Father, you just fill him with your Holy Spirit. Speak through him, Father, to us. Father, I pray that we would leave here changed, that we'd leave here different than the way we came in. We just love you and praise you. In your son's precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Just say that Tyler, glad Tyler's doing the announcements and welcome this morning. Brother Chris and Jonathan, they're still in quarantine as protocol, the CDC. Nobody's really sick or anything, but they're just staying safe. And so that's why they're not here today, just to give you an update on that. Let's stand and sing, He Knows My Name.
I have a Maker, He formed my heart before even time. Life was in His hand. I have a Maker. He formed my heart before even time began. My life was in His hand. He knows my name. He knows my my name. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls and hears me when I call. He hears me when I call. He hears me when I
God the Lord Most High.
What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. Want heaven without us, so Jesus still brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. All names. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus.
Father, you are incredible. Lord, we worship you this morning. We realize you're the creator of the universe, the giver of all life. And Father, we worship you today. We thank you, Father, that you have the name above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue confess. Father, thank you for being with us this morning, Father. Lord, we lift up those this morning, Father, who are hurting, those, Father, who are seeking for a purpose in life. Father, I pray today, as Dusty speaks to us, Father, I pray that they might hear something that would give them encouragement, Father, they draw closer to you. Lord, I love you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
All right. Thank y'all. As I said, my name is Dusty Wright. I'm thrilled and honored to be here with y'all this morning. And, you know, I pray for your church regularly. And it's nice to put some faces to those prayers. Me and Brother Chris go way back, way back, way before he was Brother Chris. He was just Chris, normally referred to as Knucklehead Chris. Man, I love that dude. I love your pastor. And I'm thankful for him. Normally when I go to a new church, I write out a little introduction. And I didn't do that because I knew God would kind of just set something up. And he did. And I appreciate our worship team. And that second song, Shout to the Lord. Man, I ain't going to lie. You about got a Baptist excited right there. Man, when I was a young man struggling in my faith, at about 17 years old, I was at church camp. I knew that I was a Christian. I knew that I knew Jesus as my Lord and Savior, but I knew I wasn't living for Him. And at Camp Siloam, God did a work on my heart. He drew me back. He told me to quit trying to live for Him in my own strength, to surrender to His Spirit and let Him do a work that would change me instead of me trying to be good enough. Let Him be good in me and through me. And when I got right with the Lord, I can remember going to the tabernacle and singing Shout to the Lord. Now, nobody was sitting too close to me this morning, and that's probably a good thing for your sake. I'm not a singer at all. And so I tried not to sing very loud when I was in public because I didn't want to embarrass or distract or disrupt other people who were trying to worship. But I can remember at camp that year when the Lord did a work in my life. He freed me to quit worrying about what I sounded like and just worship Him. And I don't know, I've told people I felt like I could have jumped right into heaven that day, that I just let go and let God work in my life and be real and me be authentic. And so that was a little trip down memory lane for me. But it might be bad for you guys because it got me a little excited, all right? So, I am very appreciative of Chris allowing me to do this. I know it wasn't necessarily his choice, and I probably wasn't his first choice. But I'm thankful for your pastor. And I think that what we're going to speak about this morning, what we're going to talk about and dig into, is right in line with your pastor's heart. He has a heart for Jesus, for his family. I'm thankful for that. But he also has a heart to be a disciple who makes disciples. And I'm thankful for that. Ministry is a lonely endeavor. And I can tell you that Chris, for me, is one of the most encouraging people that I've ever been around. And here, let me tell you why in just a second. This isn't the sermon. This is free, okay? But I was in youth ministry for about 17 years. Even before I was officially in ministry, this young, red-headed, wild kid running around the same high school I went to was there. His name was Chris Russell. And Chris, I loved him. Something about him, even though I was several years older, there was a connection there. And I think probably it was because I had been the wild-eyed knucklehead that Brother Tim, our pastor, Tim Hobbs, had invested in, and I wanted to find someone to invest in myself. And for some reason, that was Chris. And I'm not going to give you his whole story, but you know, Chris got saved when he was a little bit older. And the work that God did in his life is nothing short of a miracle. The work that God is still doing in Chris's life is nothing short of a miracle. And I say he's one of the greatest encouragers because as someone who's a youth pastor for 17 years, I look at a lot of kids that came through my ministry as the ones who got away. What did I do wrong? How did I not reach them? What could I have done to just push them a little further? and it's frustrating, and it's lonely, and it's sad. But then sometimes when I get low, I think, man, for 17 years I strived, and what is there to show for it? And I think about Chris and Dee. So, man, that's one that we got right. And that's one that we got right. And not only is that an encouragement to me, but seeing what he is doing with you, with his former churches at the campus of Arkansas Tech, man, I'm thinking, we got one. And he's going to get a lot. And praise God, I take glory in everyone he gets because it reminds me of why God put him in my life. So anyway, love your pastor. Love his wife. Love their kiddos, because I know they love you. He speaks of you often, and he loves y'all, and I'm thankful for that. Now, we're going to get into the Word before I get overextended here. So, we're going to start in Matthew chapter 28, and then we're going to spend the bulk of our time this morning in John chapter 4. So, if you want to just kind of grab both those spots, I'm going to apologize. I don't know if there's, you know, a camera or whatever, but I don't stay behind this pulpit very well. So, I'm going to be all over the place. Probably going to be down in there with y'all at some point because I'm not a pastor. By trade, that's not my profession. I'm a coach. And just like in a game, I march up and down the sidelines. I'm probably going to march up and down around here this morning. So don't be offended, but I apologize to anybody who's trying to, if we're Facebook Live or whatever, keeping a tab on where I'm at may not be the easiest. So I apologize. We're going to start in Matthew 28. This is something that we probably are all familiar with. It's the Great Commission. One of the last things Jesus said to his disciples. And just something to live by. So we're going to read Matthew 28, 18 through 20. If you found your place, if you're willing and able this morning, if you'd stand with me in honor of reading God's Word. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Let's pray. Jesus, I love you. I thank you for the sweet church, the sweet congregation. Lord, I thank you for not just those that are here, those who couldn't be here, those who are joining us online, God, those who will be listening to this sermon later in the week. Lord, we just thank you for them. And I thank you for their pastor, not just Chris and Dee, but for their whole staff and for their heart for you and their heart for these people. And I pray that you will bless our time together, Lord, and that it won't be about anything that I can say or do, but I pray that your Spirit will move and work and do what only you can get credit for, Lord. I pray that the lost will be saved, and God, I pray that the saved will be challenged and encouraged to go into all the world and preach the gospel, to go into their world where they're at and preach the gospel with their life and with their mouths. Lord, I pray you'll do a work, and that you will send revival, and that we can be a part of it. We love you, Jesus, in your precious name. Amen. All right, so We're going to just kind of, this is our jumping off spot here in Matthew 28, the Great Commission. Go, therefore, into all the world and preach the gospel, making disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And it doesn't stop there, but teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Man, that's good. That's really good. And I could spend a lot of time there. I'm not going to, because we want to really dig into John chapter 4. But the picture here, and I'm sure that you've heard it before, but when it says, go therefore and make disciples, it really could be translated, as you are going, make disciples. And that's kind of the thought today. That's the driving point of what we're going to be looking at in John chapter 4, is this idea of as you're going, in your regular life, in your day-to-day grind, be making disciples. And be teaching them about Jesus. And be teaching them to observe the things that Jesus has told us to do. We see this verse all the time. Matter of fact, I'm a member now at First Baptist Church of Danville. And I love my church. And we finish every Sunday with the Great Commission. Something that our Pastor Daniel Morris has implemented over the last year, and I love it because it's just a reminder that what we're doing here this morning, this isn't the event of the week. This is the equipping of the saints to go about the business throughout the week, right? So, you know, as we're going, as I said, my profession, I pay my bills by being a basketball coach, okay? So as I'm being a basketball coach, I need to be making disciples and baptizing them and teaching them to keep and observe all the commands of Jesus. I'm a school teacher. I'm a dad. I'm a church member. I'm an avid escape room junkie. In everything that I do, my goal should be, as I do it, to be making disciples, right? I've had the privilege of leading a couple of my players to the Lord over the years. Man, it's an honor that I've been able to do that. And I'll be honest, most of them are not my players. When that happens, they're coming back to me when they're older. Because sometimes in the intensity of coaching, I may not be the first place they come looking for answers. But when they're out of it, when they're removed, they have the ability to say, man, I know that Coach Wright loved me and he gave me hard truth even when I didn't want it. And now I need to seek that out. Man, what a blessing. Man, that is the joy. That's greater than any win I've ever had in basketball, is when my players come back and say, tell me more about Jesus, because I know that's important to you. That should be our goal. Whatever your job is, or maybe you're retired, maybe as you're going means that when you go to Old South Cafe and you're sitting there and you share, I love that place. My wife don't let me go there very often, okay? But I love that place. And so maybe that's your thing, is you go there and eat breakfast. I know they, you know, we were there a couple weekends ago, and they said they had a lot of regulars. So maybe you're one of their regulars. Well, wouldn't it be awesome if your waitress got saved while you were eating at Old South or wherever it is that you like to go eat? Man, wouldn't it be awesome if you went to the grocery store to pick up some groceries, and while you were there, some folks got saved? Wouldn't that be great? That is the picture of the Great Commission. And you say, well, Dusty, how do you know that? Well, let's look at Jesus' life and what he did, and then another great example. So we're going to spend some time in John chapter 4. Okay, so go ahead and turn there. I'm going to come down here just because I don't know. I just feel more comfortable. I don't like being up there. It feels so formal. Okay, y'all have such a beautiful setup. I'm not a formal guy. I'm not. So we're going to talk a little bit about John chapter 4, and we're going to do what I like to call story time. Chris is probably cringing at home right now when just the thought of me doing a story time, because sometimes they get interesting. But basically what I'm going to do is I'm going to tell you the first 27 verses or so of John chapter 4, and then we're going to dig into what we're really looking at today. But I want to give you the background. Familiar story for a lot of you, the story of the woman at the well. Okay, so here's what's going on. Jesus is and his disciples, they're leaving Judea, and they're going to go to Galilee. And if you were a good Jew, you might go around Samaria, but Jesus is different. So he's going to go through it. It's about a six-day journey from Judea to Galilee. We don't think about that. When we read our Bible, we say, oh, okay, Jesus is going from Judea to Galilee. That's like going from, you know, Russellville to Danville. Okay, it would take us 20 minutes. No, no, no. This is a six-day journey from Judea to Galilee, and they're going to go through Samaria, where usually the Jews and the Samaritans don't get along. Y'all know a lot of that already, okay? Pretty good. So they come to a town called Sychar. I don't know. I'm not you know, great with Greek and Hebrew, okay? So we're going to call it Sychar today, and it's the place where Joseph's well, Jacob's well, excuse me, is at, okay? And so Jesus rests there, and it's the middle of the day. It's noon, okay? Your Bible probably says the sixth hour. So it's noon, and he sits down at the well. Now remember, they're just journeying from one place to another, right? So as they're going, he sits down. The disciples go to do their work, to go get supplies, all that stuff, and he's sitting there, and here comes the Samaritan woman, and she's drawing water, and we could spend a lot of time talking about why she was drawing water at noon in the middle of the desert and the heat and all that, but we won't get into all that today, okay? By the way, when I story time things, we're going to kind of hit some highlights. Go back and read it. Listen, I can tell you with 100% surety that if Chris didn't trust me to use the Word of God rightly and rightly divide it to his people, he would not allow me to be here. So I'm telling you the truth, but I'm also telling you, as much as I care about you and love you and love Chris, as much as Chris loves you, check us on everything. Don't take our word for it. Get in the Bible. You understand what I'm saying? So I'm kind of hitting some high points. There's a lot of details here that we won't hit, but read it for yourself. John chapter 4, 1 through 27, and then we'll read some of the rest of it together. You with me? Okay. So he's sitting there. The Samaritan woman comes up, and he says, "Hey, can I have a drink? It's hot. Can I have some water?" And she's like, whoa, what? You're a Jewish man. I'm a Samaritan woman. Why are you talking to me? What's up? How's that going? Okay, what's going on here? This is weird. This is different. And he says, "Look, if you knew who was asking you for a drink of water, you'd ask me for a drink. And I would give you water that's living water. And it's water that if you drink from it, you'll never thirst again. As a matter of fact, it will become a well springing up inside of you, and it will change your life." And she immediately thinks, "Well, I don't have to come out here in the middle of the day and draw. This is awesome. Yeah, I'll take something." But she also, you know, goes in and says, "Well, how are you going to do that? Are you greater than Jacob? You know, are we going to, you don't have a pot? How are you?" All these details of how all does this work. But at the end of the day, she says, "I want some of that water." And Jesus said, "Okay, go call your husband, bring him here, and I'll give you both the water." And she says, "Well, I don't have a husband." And he's like, "Oh, you're speaking correctly. You've had five husbands, and the man you're now living with isn't your husband. You're right. You don't have a husband. You've told the truth. That's good." And she says, "Oh, you must be a prophet. I've never met you. You know I've had five husbands. You know I'm living with a man now that's not my husband. There's something different." And she begins to get uncomfortable and change the subject. "Oh, what about y'all think we should worship this way? We think..." Well. And she went, and Jesus just, "Whoa, slow down, all right? Slow down." The disciples come up. So all of this is going on, and we don't know exactly how long it takes, but Jesus, she says, this is one of the most profound things that people skip over. I don't have it written in my notes, but we'll look at it really quickly. In verse 25 and 26, the woman again begins to distract and says, "Well, I know that the Messiah is coming, which is Christ, and when he has come, he will tell us all things." This is verse 25. And verse 26, this is good. This is really good. Highlight this a couple times in your Bible. Okay? Jesus said, "The one who you're speaking to is he." So those people who say, "Well, Jesus never claimed to be God," John 4:26, right? Jesus said, "I am the Messiah. I am the Redeemer of Israel and the Redeemer of the world." It's good stuff. Good stuff. So then the disciples come back. They say some stuff. And then that's kind of where we're picking it up. Okay? That's kind of where we're going to pick up in John chapter 4, verses 27 through 30. And then we're going to skip a couple verses and read more. But let's start with 27 through 30. Okay, John 4, 27 through 30. It says, "And at this point his disciples came, and they marveled that he was talking with a woman, yet no one said, 'What do you seek?' or 'Why are you talking with her?' The woman left her water pot. She went her way into the city and said to the men, 'Come and see a man who told me all things that I've ever done. Could this be the Christ?' Then they went out of the city and came to him." Now let's skip down to 39 through 42 for just sake of longevity here. 39. "And many of the Samaritans of the city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, 'He told me all things that I ever did.' So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them. And he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. Then they said to the woman, 'Now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him. And we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world.'" Amen? Man, this is good. So Jesus, as he's going, meets the Samaritan woman at the well. And he explains that he is the Christ. right? And she, what does she immediately do? She left her water pot. She forgot what she was even there for. She left her water pot, went back home and said, listen, y'all have to meet this man. He's told me everything I've ever done. And she went back proclaiming Christ. Are you with me? She didn't go back and just join the seminary. Or just say, okay, I think I'll start going to the temple now because I met Jesus. She went back and began to proclaim Jesus. Now, get this, okay? Now, the beauty of coming into a church, this is, I think, my second time here, maybe third. I don't know a lot of you. Know very few of you, actually. So I can say this, and it's only coming from a good place. Like, I look around, and I see a bunch of fine, upstanding Christian folks. That's what I see. Okay? Now, I don't know if that's true or not. You're here on a Sunday morning. Okay? You're doing good. My assumption is that you're here because you want to grow in Christ and you want to serve the Lord. I don't know that though, right? But sometimes the devil likes to lie to us. So maybe some of you are here, but you're like, what is this? I'm not equipped. I'm not good enough to go out and tell the gospel. Dusty, you don't know me at all. I can't do this. Listen, this Samaritan woman was not the pillar of morality. She was not the gold standard of uprightness and righteousness. It's probably why she was at the well at noon, is to avoid being around other people who maybe had less thoughts of her. She had made some bad decisions in her life, was currently making bad decisions with her life. But you know what she did when she met Jesus? She left her water pot, and as she was going, she began to proclaim, listen, y'all come here. I met a man who told me everything I ever did. Is this the Christ? Could this be the Messiah? She doesn't even know what to say. Now look, here's what she didn't do. She didn't suddenly become super righteous and go back. Sorry, Chris. She didn't go back and be like, thou must come and hear from this prophet. She didn't get super spiritual. She didn't get super religious. What she got was changed. And she went back to her hometown and she said, look, guys, I found the Messiah. I know that don't make sense, but y'all need to come and meet him. Don't take my word for it. I love this picture because guess what? If this woman can proclaim Jesus Christ, I can proclaim Jesus Christ. Because in this story, I can relate a lot more to the Samaritan woman than I can to Jesus. It's reality. I've got more in common with her than I do with him. He's perfect. Yeah, as he's going, he's telling people he's the Messiah. That big deal. That's what he's supposed to. No, this person was not looked favorably upon, and yet she began to proclaim Jesus. There is not a soul in this building that can't do that. Some of you don't believe me, but believe me, you can. Now, here's the other thing she did. She didn't go back and start laying out from the beginning. You know, we see some places in Scripture where it says they began to explain the Scriptures, starting with the prophets. She didn't do that. You know why? She probably didn't know. She didn't know what the Scripture said. She didn't know. She was not overly educated in the Word of God. But what she did have was her own testimony, her own experience. She said, listen, I met a man who told me everything I've ever done, and I believe he's the Messiah. Come and see for yourself. Some of you are waiting for the perfect program. Well, if Brother Chris would just give us a good evangelism program that we could follow these six easy steps to win our friends to Jesus, then I would start witnessing. If you had six easy steps, you would want it cut into three. It's an excuse, church. It's an excuse that I've used. I don't know. What if I say the wrong thing? What if I don't? Look, this woman knew nothing. But she went and proclaimed the name of Jesus. And look what happened, man. I was talking about getting fired up. This gets me fired up every single time. Verses 39, it says, many of the Samaritans of the city believed in him because of the words that the woman testified. Many came to Jesus because of her. This woman who probably felt worthless. It's why she was at the well in the heat of the day by herself. She felt like an outcast. But it says, because of her words, many Samaritans came to Jesus. Amen. That's good, right? She didn't follow steps. She just said, I've met a man who's changed my life, who I believe is the Messiah. But then it doesn't stop there. The Samaritans listened because they thought, this is out of character for this woman. And they came to him and they urged him to stay. And he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own words. Then they said to the woman, now we believe. Man, get this. This is good. This is the place we want to be at. Verse 42, now we believe not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. You see, her job was to introduce these people to Jesus. It was not up to her to save them. They weren't going to be saved simply because of her or by her. Her job was to introduce them to Jesus. And then they developed their own walk with Jesus. And what a blessed day when your child or this person you've poured into, when they say, Dusty, I no longer believe in Jesus because you've told me it's right. I no longer believe in Jesus because I go to church with you or because I know you love me. I believe in Jesus because I have met a man. Right? Man, that's good news. That is good news. Man, I can tell you right now, I have three beautiful, awesome, wonderful children who have been in church literally since the first week they were born. But if their relationship with Jesus Christ is through me and my wife, I have failed them miserably. I want their faith in Jesus Christ to be because they have met a man who's told them everything they've ever done and who loved them anyway, who died on a cross so that they could be saved and redeemed. Because you know what? Daddy don't stand at the gate and say, oh yeah, Peter, she's good. Oh yeah, Jesus, she's good. Let her in. She's mine. On judgment day, it's not going to matter who she was on this earth. Whose he was on this earth, what's going to matter is, did they know Jesus Christ? My job is to introduce them to Jesus and pray for the day and celebrate the day that they stop living for Jesus because they want to make Daddy happy and they start living for Jesus because he is worthy. Amen? Now listen. That'll get an amen every time. Should. That's something we should be excited about. But here's the deal. I go to churches all over the state. And I fill pulpits when pastors are gone. And I've done youth events. And I've been blessed to have a lot of experiences. But you know what I see in almost every church I go to? Folks who have a secondary relationship with Jesus Christ. And I go to church because my wife wants me to. I go to church because I want my kids in church because they'll learn some morality. Amen? Boy, that's a good thought. But it's missing the mark. So there's a good chance There's someone here today who said, you know what? I started going to church because it was the right thing to do. But this relationship thing with Jesus, I don't think I've got that going on in my life. Well, praise God you're here today, because I'm going to tell you, today's the day of salvation. You can go from a head knowledge of, oh yeah, Jesus taught morality and I want my kids to be moral. I had an opportunity a few years ago to lead one of my friends, one of my old high school classmates to Jesus. And it's funny, I started filling in preaching at his church a few times. And every time I went there to preach, I would say, when he was there, I'd be like, oh man, he's sitting back there the whole time I'm preaching thinking, Dusty, I know how you were. I know you were a knucklehead. I know the bad decisions you made. I thought, he's not hearing a word I'm saying because he knows who I was and he doesn't know I'm different because I'm not around him anymore. Well, over the course of time, over a few months, he actually started going to the church there at Branch where Chris and I grew up. And he came to me one Sunday night after I preached and he said, Dusty, I need to be saved. And I said, that's awesome. And he told me, he said, you know, he said, when you used to come to my church, I would always think, boy, Dusty's standing up there at the pulpit thinking, I can't believe that guy goes to church. I know who he was. He was having the same thoughts I was having. But then he told me something that stuck with me for a long time. He said, you know what, I've never been much into church and religion and Jesus, but I had some kids, and I wanted them to be in church because I wanted them to just be good people. He said, but today I realized that that's not enough. I need to be saved. And I don't want my kids to just go to church and be good people. I want them to be saved. And we were able to nail down his salvation that night and begin to pray for his kids. Man, it was awesome that he went from a head knowledge of Jesus is a good thing to a heart knowledge of he is the Messiah, the Christ, the Redeemer of the world. So you may not feel like you're adequately equipped to share the gospel, but I'm telling you, you are. People cannot argue with your testimony. People cannot argue with what Jesus has done in your life. As I told you, if you knew your pastor when he was 15, 16, you would love him even more now than you already do, because the work God has done in his life is undeniable. I've never seen somebody go from so little spirituality to being a consistent beacon of hope for Jesus Christ. And you say, well, I don't know enough. Well, listen, I love Acts chapter 4. Peter and John are arrested. I love it. It says that when they saw that they were unlearned and uneducated men, they marveled and they took note that they had been with Jesus. Man, I take great, great joy in that passage because I can relate. I've not been to seminary. I'm not a Bible scholar, but I tell you what I am, is I am a man that Jesus Christ has changed. And because of that, I don't only feel the ability, but I feel the obligation and responsibility to share the gospel. And I'll tell you, church, that if you feel no responsibility to share the gospel, then my question for you is, has he changed you? Because on down in Acts chapter 4, when they're being questioned, they're being told, Peter and John, do not speak in the name of Jesus. Here's their response. We cannot help but to speak the things which we've seen and heard. Man, I may not know if it's Sychar or Sychar or whatever that city is in Samaria where he was. I may not know that, but I know this, that I was lost, hopeless and helpless, and Jesus saved me. And you can argue with it, but you won't win. You can say, well, Dusty, I've seen you sometimes, maybe not here, but, you know, sometimes people say, well, can a preacher and a good Christian, can they yell at a referee on the sidelines like you do? And sometimes I have to repent. I blow it sometimes. You can argue sometimes with actions because we still fall short of God's plan. And unfortunately, now it always gives me a great opportunity to say, you're right. I'm still working out my salvation with fear and trembling. I'm not there yet. That's why I'm still here. But I can tell you this, that we're only limited by our desire to make Jesus known. And if you know Him, your desire will be to make Him known. If you're not sharing the gospel, this is offensive, and I apologize if I offend you with myself, but I don't apologize if I offend you with the Word of God. But I believe that all Christians feel a responsibility to share the love of Jesus. And if you don't feel that, either you're not saved, or you've allowed sin to creep in and harden your heart, and you're so far away that you've lost that passion. You've lost that first love. What's holding you back? It can't be that you're not good enough. We've already seen that God used the Samaritan woman. Jesus used the Samaritan woman. Can't be that you're not smart enough. We see that He used Peter and John, who were unlearned and uneducated. So the only answer left is that you're just not doing what you're supposed to do. Either you're not saved, or you're not fulfilling the Great Commission if you're not sharing the gospel. And you say, Dustin, you can't come in here and tell us who's saved and who's not. You're right, I can't. I'm not going to go down the aisles. I don't know you. I can't say, Ed, Al Ray, you're pretty good, I guess. Ms. Taff, I'm sorry, I need to tell you. I don't think, of course, I'm just using your name because it's one of the few I know. So blessed my kids had her as a teacher. We love her. Thankful for her. It's not my job to go down the aisle, but here's the job of the Holy Spirit. If this morning you say, whoa, that's me, you know what? Maybe you're saying, I have a secondary relationship. I come to church because I'm supposed to, because my mom and my dad taught me that when I was a young age, and now they're gone. And I want to honor their memory by going to church. Well, praise God. But you know what would be more honoring to their memory? Following Jesus. Well, my wife, we were having marital problems, and we decided the way to fix our marital problems was to go to church together. Praise God. But you know how to even better fix your marital problems? Get saved. I find it two saved people get along better. And they have more in common. You say, well, Dusty, you're being kind of judgmental. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. I love you. And I'm telling you that I am a better husband and dad because of Jesus than when I'm living in the flesh. Even as a Christian, when I choose to live in the flesh, I'm a pretty terrible husband. I'm a pretty terrible dad. I'm a pretty terrible coach. We might win the same amount of games, but who cares? If my players don't know they have someone who loves them, my players don't know that they have someone who prays for them, I don't care if we win a state championship every year. I'm a terrible coach if I'm not, as I'm going, proclaiming the gospel. Whether you're an insurance salesman or bank clerk or whatever it is, you'll be better because you know Jesus and because you proclaim Him. Will you lose business? Possibly. I have some salesmen in my Sunday school class. Sometimes they lose business because they choose to do things God's way. But they're a better salesman because of it. So, this morning, if you're depending on your relationship with somebody else, even your pastor. I told you how much I love Chris, how much I respect him. But maybe if you're depending on him to tell you what the Word of God says and you're not digging into it yourself, you're doing him and yourselves a disjustice. Dig into God's Word. We all can share the gospel. We share it with our life. We share it with our mouth. Let's finish up with some of John chapter 4, 34 through 38. I know we've hit some stuff. Now we're going backwards. Backwards. That pretty much describes the way I do things most of the time. John 4, 34 through 38, Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor." So you see here that Jesus is again here saying, you're without excuse. If you know Him, you got to quit saying, "Well, when I get a little smarter, when I get my life in order, I'll start telling people about Jesus. When I learn a little bit more, when I learn Greek and Hebrew, then I'll start sharing the gospel." He's saying in this same passage where He is demonstrating it, where the Samaritan woman is demonstrating it, He is saying to you as well, quit putting it off. The field is ripe. Listen, we had a time where we weren't able to come together in this setting. We missed out. And yes, we had streams and we had videos and we had church parking lot services. Man, I'm going to tell you right now, there is a lot of folks out there who are starving to death spiritually. Stop saying, "When I get better equipped." Young folks, quit saying, "When I get a little older and life slows down, when my kids grow up and I have more time." It don't happen. Older folks, quit saying, when this goes or when that goes. Just stop. The fields are white. Folks are ready. Folks need it, and they know they need it right now. I'm telling you. We've seen it. We've experienced it. People know right now there has to be more than this life we're living. But we're sitting back waiting to feel more comfortable. "Oh, and I know a few more Bible verses." Well, praise God, learn the Bible verses. But stop using that as an excuse. As you're going, share about your experience with Jesus. If you don't yet have an experience with Jesus, I want to invite you today to start a life with Jesus, to have an encounter with Jesus, and then proclaim the truth to those around you and pray for them and pray for the day that they no longer believe just because you told them, but they believe because they've experienced it firsthand. Amen? When the whole church does that, that's what revival looks like. That's what it's supposed to be like. I'm praying for you as a church, praying for your pastor. But Chris can't do it all. Al Ray and Jonathan, they can't do it all. They need all of us as we're going. And some people will listen to you that won't listen to them. Amen? Be about the work. That's when revival will happen. That's what we want to see and we pray for. I'm going to pray for you. We'll have a moment of invitation. If you want to come and pray at the altar, I'll be here. But I know we haven't been coming. I know we haven't been doing that. You do what you're comfortable with. Maybe it's just you want to come talk to me after the service, one-on-one. We'll social distance, whatever you want to do. But don't leave here and say, "I'll take care of it next week when Chris is back." You deal with what God's dealing with you about right now. Let's take care of it, all right? Jesus, I love you, and I thank you for this church, for what they mean to Chris and Dee, to their kiddos. Lord, I thank you for the privilege of being able to join them and partner with them through prayer week after week after week, Lord. But I also thank you for putting a face to those prayers, for allowing me to be here today with them. Lord, I pray they'll know that everything I've said and done, God, will be has been to honor you, to glorify you, Lord. I pray that we will put your name on display. I pray that we will introduce our friends and our families and our coworkers to you and that they will develop their own walk with you. But God, I pray that we will give them a true picture of who you are and what you're able to do because of the work you've done and the changes you've brought about in our lives. God, we thank you. God, I thank you that I'm not who I was. And I thank you that No one can argue with the fact that you have drastically changed my life. And Lord, I pray that it will be evident not just through my words, but through my words and through the way that I live. And I pray that for each and every person here this morning. We love you, and we thank you for what you're going to do. And I pray that you'll allow us to see a harvest, both that we've labored in and that we haven't. God, do a work that only you can take credit for. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll have time of invitation.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender all.
Dusty this morning for coming. I played golf with Dusty and Chris and Mark Downey one time, and that was the best fun I've had in a long time. The cart was shaking, so I'm laughing at these guys so much. But what an incredible message, incredible servant you are, and I thank you so much for sharing with us this morning. Goodness, incredible message. At this time, we're going to ask our guys, if you would, to make your way to the door to receive our offering. Remembering our summer giving goal, the challenge that we have laid out in front of you there. And think about that, what God would have you do or to help bless the ministry of this church and throughout the Southern Baptist Convention. Let me lead us in a word of prayer. You have a great afternoon. Remember, there will be no services tonight. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for today. Thank you, Lord, for the reminder, Lord, that as we go, we need to share. I thank you so much for the time that Jesus and the disciples went through Samaria. And Jesus stopped at a well to talk to a common woman. And Lord, the story that we all can learn, the lesson we learn, Father, from his encounter with that woman at the well. Lord, help us all to go and tell people about you, what you've done in our lives, Father, our testimony. Father, I pray that this would be a great afternoon for our people. Lord, just bless them as they go out, enjoy their families. pray, God, there's someone here today who has heard something, Father, that made them think about their relationship with you, Lord. Maybe they come talk to one of us after the service, Father, and let's talk about that. Lord, I love you, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.